Maybe all of us would have turning points within our Christian walk as we look back at the meeting times with God that really changed things, that really changed the direction that we were going in and our thinking and a deepening with Jesus. I would just put these down as turning points. And so when we look at the disciples, there were lots of turning points. Lots of these fresh encounters with Jesus. I was reading one the other day of a turning point regarding Coca-Cola. It says that the president of the Coca-Cola company between 1922 and 1955 had this vision that no one on the face of the earth should die without having tasted Coca-Cola. It revolutionized the whole company. And if you've traveled, even into the remotest parts of Africa, you'll often find a can of Coke or a bottle of Coke. And that was the vision. What a turning point for the whole company. And then I read another one. And maybe this is you. This is a turning point for lots of us. Dear Lord, so far today, I've done okay. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I've not been nasty or greedy or overbearing or selfish or obnoxious. I'm really glad I've accomplished all these things on my own. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to have to get out of bed. And from that point on, I'm going to need all the help that I can get. Anyway, I'm sure that's a turning point for most of us on a morning. Okay, let's read again. Because this is a really life-changing chapter. Before Pentecost, Jesus met with his disciples. This was the third time. So read along with me. Some of you might have an authorized version. Some of you might have a Good News Bible. Some of you might have a proper Bible like me. The New American Standard. But anyway, we'll read together. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm off fishing. Sorry, that was a Barnsley accent just for our brother and sister here. I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will also come with you. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find a catch. And so they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. I really believe this morning that Jesus is going to meet with some of us by his Spirit. I love this chapter. There have been many, many ways that Jesus could have revealed himself to these disciples. He could have walked on water. He could have done all kinds of things. But as we read in verse 1, he did it this way. And he did it this way because there were lessons that they needed to learn. And especially regarding the intimacy right at the end of verse 14. And we're looking at verses 2 to 3. There were seven disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verse 10. This is what Jesus had said to them. Go ahead into Galilee and I'll meet you there. So that's why they were there. They didn't just have an idea and thought we're going to go. They were actually there because Jesus had asked them to go there. They're in the right place, just doing the wrong thing. This has been really personal for me, because as I look at what they were doing, they were in the right place doing the wrong thing. They were there on Jesus' instruction. And years ago, when he first met them, he called them to be fishers of men. Now, that again, they were just going back to fish for fish. And Simon Peter, we read, didn't he? I'm going fishing. So instead of waiting for the direction, the instruction of Jesus, he had an idea. He went back to what he were used to. He went back to what he did before. He enjoyed it. It was comfy. He was good at it. I was thinking about this and I thought, you know, sometimes that's a picture of us. When we have no direction in life, what we tend to do is to go back to do something that I really enjoyed doing and things that I were really good at. And it was comfy. I like doing that. So you can see Peter's thinking, I'm just going to go right back into what I did before. And when we've got no direction, what we tend to do is we either listen to someone who's really loud or someone who seems really confident in what they're going to do. And this were the disciples. They didn't know what to do. So Peter, being bold and kind of overconfident, right, I'm off fishing. And they just said, oh, okay, we'll go here. Seven people making a decision or agreeing with one just doesn't make it right. But this is exactly what they did. Peter, loudest, confident, I'm going to go back fishing. They stepped into a boat. They were out all night and they caught nil pla. They caught zilcho. They caught nothing. These men did this for a living before. And usually, I'm told anyway, that fish feed at night. What an absolute body blow for these guys. They must have been good at their job before. They knew how to catch fish. They were gutted. They had nothing to gut, but they were gutted themselves. Oh, I know. Anyway, some of you got that. But Jesus has called these men years ago to leave their businesses, to leave their boats, to leave their nets, and to follow him. Now, there's nothing wrong with fishing, is there? I knew Mike. I knew I'd get an answer straight away from Mike Forbes. There is nothing wrong with fishing. I love fishing. The thing is here is that for Jesus, he'd call them to fish for men and not to go back and fish for fish. So now Jesus is on the beach. The boat's about 100 yards away. They had no idea that it was Jesus. And here we go with this challenging question. And I'm going to say it in a way, not that so that we understand it today, but in a similar way to what Jesus said in his culture. Hey, lads, have you caught any fish? And they answered, no. It's the most awful thing when you've been fishing and you've caught nothing because you don't want anybody to ask you. You don't, do you? Because you feel a failure. And this provoking question from Jesus, this is all Jesus is teaching. Hey guys, have you got any fish? He knew for a fact they hadn't caught anything. But he calls out, have you got any fish? No. Now, if you don't want anybody to know if you've caught any fish or not, you're better off just going out on your own. Because if you catch something, you usually take a photograph and you put it straight on Facebook. But if you're out on your own and you don't want anybody to know that you've not caught anything, then nobody knows. So really, you're better off just going out on your own. I think that's why Mike Forbes often goes out on his own. The thing is with Mike, he's always putting stuff on Facebook because he's always catching them. He's the master fisherman. If you want to learn, have a word with Mike. He's shaking his head, but I think Anna would agree. These are the things I think when I've been fishing and I've not caught anything. This were on Guernsey. Went out fishing, caught zilch. I'm thinking, How can I not catch? Look at the size of the sea. Is there no fish here? Honest, I went out a few times and I was dreading coming home because my wife would really give me an hard time. Have you caught anything? Well, I got a few bites. Yeah, but have you caught anything? No. You've been out 4 hours, 5 hours, and you've caught absolutely nothing. And these are the things that come to mind. Please don't ask me. Please don't go there. It's a question that they can't fob off. It's just been one of those nights, or I don't want to talk about it. And what Jesus is doing, he's helping these disciples confess their failure. They struggled. I think they really expected to go out and catch something. Maybe because, again, because of they needed to earn a crust. They didn't know what to do. Maybe they were skint. Maybe they just went back to doing because that's all they ever knew to do. But Jesus, he helps them to confess their failure. It's amazing in the book of James, where James encourages the church. He says, confess your faults one to another. And this is what Jesus is doing here. The other thing is, when we have an idea, and you and I go off and we think, wow, this is an idea, and I've got other pals with me, it must be right. And we go off and it's just not effective. There's no results, there's no fruit, there's no fish in the net, there's nothing. And here Jesus knows that these guys are working in their own strength. And he knows that they're not going to accomplish anything. This has been really, really challenging for me. As we looked at things upstairs in our leaders' prayer meeting every Sunday morning, is the verse that's been ringing in my head for weeks. Is these are the words of Jesus: I only do what I see my Father doing. And I can't get rid of that. I only do what I see my Father doing. And when you look at what Jesus did and what he said and what he accomplished, the Father was always doing something. And so here we've got these disciples. They've been fishing all night. They've got absolutely nothing. They're working in their own strength to try and fulfill their own ideas. There's no rewards. There's no fish. There's nothing. And so the Lord questions them, not to rub their noses in it, not to make them feel a failure, but he's waking up their thinking to be totally dependent upon him. And sometimes you and I, we depend upon him, and sometimes we go off and we kind of do his own thing. And it's very frustrating when there's no evidence of any fruit. I remember years ago being in a church and listening to people pray, Lord, we've decided to do this, so will you come and bless us? And really, biblically, we should be praying, or they should have been praying at that time, Lord, lead us into the things that you're doing. Because God blesses his programs and he blesses his plans. Not mine. Not what I think is right. And all this is hearing God. It's listening to God. And he's teaching them some really key things. Listen to this. This is what we often forget. The just shall live by faith. And we often forget that. Because we just go off in our own skills and organization and all our giftings, and we just go off sometimes and we try and make things work. And we enjoy doing that. This is how I'm going to serve you, God. But God's working over here. I think this is one of the most challenging chapters in the book of John. The just shall live by faith. Listen to this. Whatever isn't of faith is sin. It's one of them verses I wish I would have read. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh my word. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And so Jesus is very lovingly teaching them some really important things. So here's this man on the beach, and he's shouting now instruction. And I love this instruction. He knows they've not caught anything. So now as he gives the instruction, and he shouts out, he says, throw your net on the right side and you'll catch. Wow. He sounded a bit confident. He sounded sure. He sounded certain. And when they acted upon what he'd said, there were so many fish, and they were big fish, they actually couldn't pull in the net because it was so heavy. And John notes that, hey, the nets are not breaking. Oh, wow, there's something miraculous here. I remember when Jesus was here and he did similar things. All of a sudden now, his memory is jogged. There's a recognition of God. I've seen things like this before. And all of a sudden, he turned around to Peter and he said, it's the Lord. And it was John who recognized who Jesus was. I love these words. It's the Lord. Wow. So let me just wrap things up in a nutshell, just for this first part. They are doing what seems to be a good idea, but there's no results. They're working in their own strength. They've been fishing all night. They've caught absolutely nothing. Then the question comes to highlight their failure. They acknowledge it, and then when they obeyed the command, there were unbelievable rewards, even much more than what they even thought could be. An answer to the question, doing what they had been asked to do. So much in one moment changed all that struggle and toil, all that spent effort and energy. Jesus just did it in a moment. And the lovely thing is that they were still fishing. It was just that now Jesus was in charge. Jesus was giving the commands, and all they were doing were obeying him. This is what I love about this passage, is that Jesus just very lovingly just showed up, and he accomplished something much more than what they could do all night. They were organized. They were skilled. They were experienced. Every church has got people like this, skilled, experienced, organized. We've got policies, we've got programs, we've got procedures, we've got everything. And some churches today seem to have got everything, but there's no fish, there's no fruit, there's nothing growing. There's nothing that seems to be happening. Now, don't get me wrong, all these things are good. But if you and I are relying upon procedures and plans and programs instead of Jesus, if we're trusting more in programs and plans than Jesus, then our nets are never going to be full. We have to really trust Jesus. And again, this is what he was teaching them. How to learn to fish the Lord's way. You're looking at verse 7 of this chapter. It says that John recognized Jesus first. But the one with the devotion to Jesus was Peter. Now, in the Middle East, they would often work naked. And so what Peter did, he put like his little loincloth on, his little tunic on, and then he threw himself into the sea. We're only 100 yards away from the beach. But as soon as John said that, he were in and he were off. He were away. A real, real devotion to Jesus. I remember trying to illustrate this on an Easter sunrise service in the Middle East. And we were on the beach, the sun had just come up, and we did a sunrise Easter service, just like we did last week. It was really, really special. And we were looking at this chapter, and I was trying to illustrate regarding the fish, and all of a sudden, a boat comes round the corner, just one of these little boats. It had about four guys in it, and they pulled up. They brought the boat onto the beach and they had a net full of fish. It was just like a living parable. And I stopped and I said, that's what I'm trying to illustrate. That's what I'm talking about. It was one of them really, really special moments. And I think here was a really special moment for Jesus, for Peter. And this is the reason why. Here's this miraculous catch of fish. They were big fish. The nets were full. The nets weren't breaking. Wow, this had got God's hallmark on it. This was something miraculous. Peter, I get that. Thank you for the miracle. But it's Jesus. Oh, wow. You know, there are so many churches today just get wrapped up with all the miraculous stuff and forget about Jesus. This was Peter. I want to be with Jesus. I get the miracle. But he is the most important person. So this is what he did. He swam to shore. Last year, Aubrey took me and Leah out fishing on his little boat. And we had a good time, didn't we, Ob? I hardly caught anything. Aubrey caught some, and Leah were just pulling them out like fun. She's never been fishing before. And I'm sat on one side of the boat, Aubrey's sat here and Leah's sat here. Now on these boats, you're looking at a distance, left to right, you're looking at what, 4, 8 feet, 12 feet? Not much more than that. I remember sat here and I said to Aubrey, I think I need to swap places with Leah. I'm stupid with that. Just did a bit of fun. I want to, because she was catching up fish. What on earth was she doing right? This is the point. It's nothing to do with the left hand and the right hand. It were all to do with their obedience to Jesus. That was the key. They obeyed this voice from the beach. And the difference with these nets not breaking, if you remember right back when Jesus first met the disciples, the same thing happened. He gave them instruction. There were so many fish, they had to bring in other boats because the boats were sinking. Too many fish. The nets were breaking, but here the nets didn't break. Listen to Jesus' words. All that the Father has given me are mine. No one can pluck them out of my hand. And John noticed that the nets were not breaking. Now the interesting thing is, in verses 8 to 11, the disciples are not letting go of this miraculous catch of fish. And so they bring it in on a little boat. They're kind of dragging it in. And they're really, really struggling. Now in verse 10, Jesus says to Peter, bring some of the fish you have caught. Then Peter goes out and does it on his own. So now this principle, it's kind of catching on. When Jesus speaks, just do it. Because strength is given when you and I obey God, not to go off on our own ideas, where there's no fruit and it's hard and it's difficult and we're spending time and effort and energy and there's nothing from it, even though we might be enjoying it. But when Jesus speaks, go and draw in the fish. So Peter went and he drew in the fish. On his own. Strength is always given when you and I obey God. All the time, every time. Even when it's challenging and he just asks us to do things. And the challenge is today, for me and for you, is to hear God. What are you saying to me, Lord? How do I know what you want me to do? I want to share something with you. It is total surrender. I'm going to surrender all that I am to you, Lord. Because I want to do what you're doing. I want to be about your business. I want to be talking to the people that you're talking to. People that you're working in. I want to be able to pray with some of them that you would pray with if you were here. And he is here by his Spirit. And I think that's the biggest challenge for all of us. Because so many times we can go off and we can do something that just is our idea. And we ask God to bless us. And sometimes it can take years before we realize, well, we give it a good shot, but it's not worked out, so let's try something else. Sometimes we're just very slow in learning. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what are you doing? This is where there's fruit. This is where we will draw in masses of fish. And Jesus knew that they were hungry, and so he had a barbecue on the beach, all prepared. He cared for them even more than what they even thought with this miraculous catch of fish. And these lovely words, by the way, bring some of the fish that you've caught. He's behind all this anyway. He's the one who willed all the fish into the net. He's the one who gives everything. It's nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with him. Matthew chapter 17. Jesus and the coin in the fish's mouth. I don't know if you remember this, but it's well worth having a look at this. Peter and Jesus needed to pay their taxes to the government. Obviously, they didn't really have anything. And this instruction to Peter from Jesus was, Peter was to fish in the Sea of Galilee, catch a fish with a coin in its mouth, which would be enough to pay taxes for him and for Jesus. Now, I just want us to think about this. I wrote a few things down. Someone had to lose that coin. Then this fish had to take up the coin and hold it in its mouth, not to swallow it. Usually fish swallow everything. Then this fish maybe had to fight other fish off either to get on Peter's hook or to get into his net. Just imagine the hook with the bait on. And he's telling all the other fish, no, that's not yours, that's mine. I'm going to get that. Or he had to swim into the net so that Peter would catch this fish. Just one fish with one coin in its mouth. It's exactly the same with Jesus turning water into wine. If you've ever done any wine brewing, it can take ages to ferment and bring out a really good wine. Jesus did that in an instance. This is really miraculous stuff. And everything that we do is by faith. So there's one or two things I'd just like us to think about as we bring things to a close. Just things to grasp. They didn't go into Galilee or to this sea because it were a good idea. They went there because Jesus told them to. You can imagine them fishing all night and saying to each other, there used to be fish in here. Looks like there's no fish in here anymore. Jesus showed up at their work. Jesus is with you where you work. If you're a believer, if you love him, where you are is where God has planted you to be a witness. And Jesus is with you at work. He showed up at their work. So often it's so easy to be a Sunday Christian. I'm just going to come and put on the front, put on a mask. And then when I leave, I'm just going to, nobody knows how I live. Jesus is with you at work. He's called you, he's planted you to be exactly where you are. The other thing is here is that Jesus willed the fish into this net, but the men still had to fish. Nothing to do with sitting down and doing nothing and just praying. The men still had to do the work of being fishermen. John recognized the hallmark of God, the imprint, his calling card. Other things, to do what he instructs. To do what he says, because then there's always blessing. And as we obey him, there's always strength that he will give to enable us to obey what he's saying. The lovely thing is here is that nobody dare ask, are you Jesus? Because really they knew. And knowing Jesus, they were thinking, well, he already knows my thoughts anyway. He knows everything. Imagine Peter, he's, all the surroundings that were around him, the charcoal fire, the boats, the fish, the sea, so many things to kind of quicken their thinking and their memories. And Peter, maybe he's looking back and thinking, I remember that time when I denied Jesus, when I began to curse and I began to swear. And Thomas, why on earth did they ever doubt him? So many things, all the things that the disciples were thinking, and what Jesus did, he changed in one moment that they tried to make work all night. The Holy Spirit, folks, can do more in 1 minute than we can do in 100 years. And so it's God in us. He controls their success. They had a massive catch of fish. They were gobsmacked. And he teaches them from failure. It's not our ideas. It's his ideas. It's not us working in our strength, it's working in his strength. Next week we're going to be looking in the morning of what does it mean to be empowered by Jesus. He can move in all circumstances, supply all of our needs, as long as you and I listen and obey him. And I think the highlight for me is the miracle wasn't the big thing. The main focus, as we see Peter putting on his little loincloth, swimming to shore. He was aware of the miracle and the fish, but Jesus became the main thing. I found this chapter very challenging. And again, just ringing in my head, the words of Jesus, I only do what I see my Father doing. So I'd like us to maybe hang our coats on that peg. We'll find later on, Jesus said to the disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. It's exciting, it's daunting, it's challenging. But you and I will see tremendous fruit as we obey him in the instruction that he continually gives. gives to us every day, just meeting people.